what is so amazing about grace? We just sang Amazing Grace. And we've all heard the song before. It's probably the most familiar, the most famous hymn in all the world. But what are we talking about? What does it mean? What is so amazing about grace? Well, first of all, just to be clear, grace is being good to someone who doesn't deserve it. Okay? So if someone is a complete jerk and they're a jerk to you, and then they need help and you help them out, that's grace. Okay? Grace is being good to someone who doesn't deserve it. God's grace offers you forgiveness and salvation even though we don't deserve it. Okay, when we left off, Saul was going hard in the wrong direction. He thought he was a good guy. In fact, he thought he was the most righteous person he knew. He thought he was doing the Lord's will. He was going around and he was arresting Christians, having them thrown in jail, because he thought they were a threat to his Jewish traditions. He thought he was a good guy doing the right thing, but the truth is he was going hard the wrong way. And we saw last week that he wasn't satisfied to simply arrest and threaten all the Christians he could find in Jerusalem. Now he's gone to Damascus, which is in another country, because he wants to arrest and threaten all the Christians there. But on his way to Damascus, the Lord appears to Saul, but not to punish him, not to crush him, even though that's what Saul deserved. I mean, Saul's a rat. He was an evil guy. He deserved to be crushed. God appears to Saul, but it's not to crush him. It's not to read him the riot act. It's not to point the finger at him. It's not to condemn him. It's not to smush him. The Lord appears to Saul to save him. The Lord says, Saul, what are you doing? Why are you persecuting my people? Why are you persecuting me? And if you remember, Saul was completely confused. Because grace will do that to you. It'll turn your head around. Remember, Saul was extremely self-confident. He was confident. He knew who God was, and he knew what God wants. And then all of a sudden, he has just realized he's wrong about everything. He has just discovered that he's not this great person he thought he was. And so he's completely turned around, and he says, "Who are you, Lord?" God says, "I'm Jesus. I am the one who has come into this world, took on flesh like you and me, and suffered and bled and hung on the cross to take the penalty for sin, for sinful people like Saul, for sinful people like you and me." He says, I am Jesus who has come and hung on the cross and taken your penalty and your punishment so that I can offer you salvation and blessing that you don't deserve. The grace of God offers you forgiveness, offers you a new beginning. God's grace offers you a clean conscience. God's grace offers you peace with God. God's grace offers you fellowship, a relationship with God. God's grace offers you His Spirit. God's grace offers you salvation and forgiveness and eternal life that we don't deserve. That's grace. Okay? Grace is being good to people who don't deserve it. Well, what's so amazing about that? I mean, why would we sing Amazing Grace? Well, three things I want you to see this morning that are amazing about grace. First of all, God's grace will change you. You ever try to change? Try to stop smoking? Or lose weight? Or learn a new language? Or learn a new skill? Change is hard. Okay? You can do it sometimes. I mean, sometimes we can change a little bit on the surface, but you can't change on the inside. You can't change your heart. You can't change yourself. You might decide, I'm gonna watch my tongue and try to stop criticizing and nagging, but you still think those same thoughts on the inside. You can't change your own heart. But God can. Now look with me at our text, beginning with the second part of verse 19. It's talking about Saul. It says, "For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus." He was what? He was with who? This is Saul, who hates Christianity. He hates Christians. The whole reason he's gone to Damascus is to arrest them and carry them off to Jerusalem. And now he's hanging out with them. Okay. Well, they say you can tell a lot about a person by who they spend time with. Saul is spending time with the Christians. He's hanging out with Damascus because God's grace has changed him. You know, Sin is persistent. We all have those pet sins that just won't seem to go away. Maybe you quit smoking, but now you're drinking more. Or maybe, you know, underneath the surface, there's sin underneath, an addictive personality, or there's things underneath that we can't get at, that we can't change ourselves. Whether it's impatience or irritability or arrogance or pride or fears, we can't change those things about ourselves. But God's grace can. Because God is even more persistent than our sin. You know, I'm sure you have certain things in your life that just keep coming up. Things you do, you think, I've wrestled with that all my life. Sin is persistent, but God is even more persistent. God sees you. God sees you with X-ray eyes, right? He sees past the surface. He sees the dirt. He sees the mess. He sees the fear and the anger and the pride. He sees the thoughts. He sees all the junk. And he still loves you. And he came. He gave his son to save you. I mean, he's more persistent than that most persistent sin. He is determined to come to the cross to deliver you. And that grace will absolutely transform you. Look at this. It says that immediately Saul proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues. The whole reason he went to the synagogue was to see if there's any Christians there, and if so, he was going to arrest them and take them down to Jerusalem. And now he's going in the synagogues, and instead of arresting Christians, he's preaching Jesus. He has been completely transformed. It says he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying he's the Son of God, and all who heard him were amazed. They were amazed. They were amazed at the change that has happened in Saul's life. They said, is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priest? They knew who Saul was. They knew all the trouble he had caused in Jerusalem. They knew that he came to Damascus to arrest Christians. And now he's preaching Jesus? They were amazed at the change that's happened in Saul's life. You want to know what's amazing about grace? Why do we sing Amazing Grace? It's amazing because it will change you. Okay, God's grace will change you and strengthen you. Saul was weak. Okay, you would be too. Okay, if you thought you were basically a good person and all of a sudden you realized you're a rat, yeah, you'd be weak too. Okay, we read last week that for 3 days he didn't eat or drink. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, the man was weak. But then it says, verse 22, but Saul increased all the more in strength. He was weak, but the Lord strengthened him. Okay? God's grace is able to make you strong. Okay? God's grace is able to make you strong in wisdom, courage, and understanding. It says, Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving Jesus was the Christ. Well, just a few days before, Saul was convinced that Jesus was a fake and a phony and a threat. And now in this brief amount of time, he has come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God who's come to save us. And not only has he come to believe that, but God has given him the wisdom to be able to prove it from Scripture. That's God's grace. That's not something Saul figured out on his own. That's God's grace. God's grace is able to give you wisdom. He's able to strengthen you by giving you wisdom and courage and understanding. Are you facing a difficult decision? You dreading the circumstances you're in? Or you feel like you don't know what to do? You can't handle this? You need grace. Okay. God's grace is so amazing because God's grace will change you and it'll strengthen you and deliver you. Okay? First of all, God's grace saves us from the guilt and the power of sin. We know that. That's why Jesus died on the cross. First of all, to save us from our guilt. Okay? He took our penalty. He took our punishment. But it wasn't just to pay for the guilt of our sin, but also to break the power of our sin. So now I'm not a victim to my sins anymore. Now I can grow. Now I've been set free. Now I can make progress. Now I can begin to change. Jesus saves us from both the guilt and the power of our sin. But that's not all. God's grace can also save you from your circumstances. I want to be careful how I say this, because too often we focus on our circumstances. Lord, get me out of this mess. Get me out of that mess. And often God has you in certain circumstances because he wants to work on you. And we spend too much time focusing on this person and that person and our problems and our circumstances when we ought to be working on ourselves. So I don't want to encourage you to focus on your circumstances when God wants us to change. He wants you to change. But that doesn't mean God doesn't care about your circumstances. God does care about your circumstances, and in his way and in his time, God's grace can deliver you from your circumstances. Look at verse 23. It says, when many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. Okay, so here is Saul. Everybody knew what he used to be like, and now he's believing in Jesus, and he's proving it from the scriptures, and so some of the Jewish people just wanted to get rid of him. Well, that's a problem. In the ancient world, cities were normally surrounded by a wall. Okay, that was the safety. At the night, you close the gates, and that way that would keep the enemies out. That's normally a good thing. But in Saul's case, it meant he was trapped. Okay, he was stuck in Damascus because there were enemies who were going to watch the gates, and they would kill him as soon as he tried to leave. So here is Saul, and he's stuck. He's trapped inside the city of Damascus. But it says, verse 24, but their plot became known to Saul. Somehow he found out. He found out that they were out to get him. That's God's grace. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him. Remember, Saul has been preaching about Jesus and showing it from the Bible, and so some people had been believing him and become his disciples, and they found out from Saul that people were trying to kill Saul. And it says they took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. In the ancient world, the wall would be 10, 15 feet thick. People lived in the wall. There were apartments in the wall. Apparently, or we suspect maybe this is what happened, that one of these disciples had an apartment in the wall, and they were able to get Saul up there and out the window, and it must have been high. They wouldn't have a window near the bottom. This is a wall to keep out the enemy, but maybe way up there there was a window, and they were able to let Saul out in a basket. And that's grace. I mean, the man was completely trapped. There was nowhere to go. They wanted to take his life. But by God's grace, that he found out what was going on, and some people had an apartment where there's a window, and they were able to let him out, and he escaped. That's grace. What's so amazing about grace is that God's grace will change you. When your best efforts can't change yourself, God can, and he does it for free. God's grace will change you, and God's grace will strengthen you. When you are weak, when you are stuck, when you just can't go on, God will give you strength. God's grace will change you and strengthen you and deliver you. He delivers you from the guilt and the power of sin. But when it's his will and his time, he can also deliver you from that circumstance, from that situation when you feel trapped. God's grace is amazing. In fact, sometimes it's so amazing, it almost seems to be too good to be true. Back in verse 21, all those in Damascus who heard Saul were amazed. They were amazed to see the change in Saul. Sometimes God's grace just seems almost too good to be true. And that's what happened when Saul went back to Jerusalem. In verse 26, when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him. You ever go off for the summer? You go off to camp, you go off to school, you go off in the military, you move away, whatever. You go off and you become a different person. Because of life experiences or whatever happens to you, you finally come home and you come home a different person. But the people at home don't know that. They don't know you've changed. They don't know what you've gone through. And so they treat you like you're still the same person you were before you left. Well, that's what Saul has happened to him. He goes off to Damascus, and on the way, he meets the Lord Jesus. He's completely changed. He comes back to Jerusalem a different person. But people in Jerusalem don't know that. And so when Saul wants to come spend time with the Christians, they're like, I don't think so. Because for all they know, Saul is still that guy who's going around having Christians arrested. The last they heard, he was arresting all the Christians they could find in Jerusalem, and then he went to Damascus to do the same thing. Saul says he's a Christian. Sounds like a trap. Sounds like a trick. Sounds like he just wants to pretend to be a Christian and get to know who are the Christians before he can arrest them. Saul wants to hang out with the new Christians, and they're like, nope, I don't think so. They were afraid of him. It says they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him. If you remember, we last saw Barnabas back in chapter 4. His real name was Joseph. And Joseph, he wasn't an apostle, he wasn't a preacher, but he was a man who believed in the grace of God. Okay? Joseph had been transformed. He'd been saved by the grace of God. And he really believed in the grace of God. Obviously, you can't be a Christian unless you believe in the grace of God. And that's what a Christian is. A Christian, someone who realizes, I'm sinful. I don't deserve God's forgiveness, but I'm trusting in Jesus for that. That's what a Christian is. A Christian, by definition, is someone who believes in God's grace. But some Christians get it more than others. And Joseph was one of these guys who really was gripped by grace. He really understood grace. He became passionate about grace. He understood that he really didn't deserve this blessing and that God was so good to him. So Joseph was passionate about grace. And so when he saw other people coming to know God's grace who had problems, who had needs, Joseph sold a piece of property and gave all the money to help these people who were poor. And it was such an encouragement to the apostles, they called him Barnabas. Because Barnabas literally means son of encouragement. His real name was Joseph, but they called him Barnabas because it was so encouraging to have a man in the congregation who believed in God's grace and was excited about God's grace and was passionate about God's grace and therefore who was gracious. Barnabas didn't know these people, but he saw that he didn't owe them anything, but he saw they had needs, and so he just gave his money to them. That's grace. Okay, when we experience God's grace and we receive God's grace, we're able to show God's grace and demonstrate God's grace. Well, now we're back here in our text this morning. Saul's in Jerusalem. Nobody believes he's really a Christian. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Nobody believed in Saul, but Barnabas did. He believed in God's grace. He believed in the power of God's grace. So he goes to Saul and he finds out what really happened. I mean, that's a risk. That's dangerous. But Barnabas believed in the grace of God. And so he takes Saul to the apostles and explains what has happened and explains how Saul has been changed. And so now it says Saul is able to go in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. The Christians in Jerusalem, they needed Saul. They needed someone like Saul with his gifts and his talents. Okay, verse 29 says, he spoke and he disputed against the Hellenists. Remember, the Hellenists were the Jewish people who were not originally from Israel. They were from the wider world. They were influenced by Greek culture. They tend to be educated and intelligent and well-learned. It was hard to debate with them. They were sharp people, and they needed someone like Saul who could reason with them and debate with them and prove to them from scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. See, we need people like Barnabas. We need people like Barnabas who believe in the grace of God, who are passionate and excited about the grace of God, and who can demonstrate the grace of God to other people by just showing, giving, and doing good to those who don't deserve it. But we also need people like Saul who can teach and explain the grace of God. And we all need to work together. We've got to work together to build each other up in grace. Verse 29 says, the Hellenists were seeking to kill Saul. That is, he was so effective at refuting them and showing things from Scripture. They got tired of trying to debate him, and they just wanted to get rid of him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the Christians in Jerusalem, they needed Saul because he was able to debate the Hellenists. But Saul also needed them because when the word got out that they wanted to put him to death, he needed the other Christians to help him escape to Caesarea and then to Tarsus. The point is, we got to work together to build each other up in grace. It doesn't help to nag one another or to criticize each other. Sometimes we have to lovingly show each other from Scripture where we might have gone astray. We have to be willing to sit down and have kind of those hard conversations and listen to. But beating each other up doesn't help. Beating ourselves up doesn't help. It's grace that's going to make you grow. It's God's grace that's going to change you. It's God's grace that saves you. It's God's grace that strengthens you. And at the end of the day, it's God's grace that delivers you. What we have to do, we need to work together. Showing each other grace. Reminding each other about Jesus. When we get discouraged, when we get overwhelmed by our problems and our troubles, when it seems like everything's going wrong, we got to encourage each other by pointing to Jesus and reminding each other about grace. How God does us good even when we don't deserve it. We need to work together to build one another up in grace. This is how our text ends this morning. It says, the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace. So all through the area, the church had peace. It had peace, first of all, because Saul was no longer going around arresting everybody. That's God's grace. They had peace with God through Jesus. That's God's grace. They had peace in their hearts, okay? That's God's grace. They had peace and was being built up. God in his grace was building up his people and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it, the church, multiplied. The fear of the Lord is recognizing that I don't deserve good from God. You know, God doesn't owe me any good thing. The fear of the Lord is recognizing I can't demand anything from God. He doesn't owe me. I owe him. The fear of the Lord is that reverence and respect for the Lord, who he is, that I owe him. He doesn't owe me. That every good thing that comes from him is grace. Walking in the fear of the Lord is walking by faith in God's grace. And it says, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit comforts our hearts. When we're convicted, when we're aware of our sins and our shortcomings, God's Spirit comforts us when in our troubles and our sorrows. That's God's grace. Walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it, the growing congregation of God's people, it multiplied, it grew. That's what's amazing. That's what's amazing about grace. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. Because it's not our efforts that make us better. It's not our hard work. It's not our righteousness. It's God's grace. It's God. It's God and his grace. That's what changes you. And that's what strengthens you. That's what renews you. That's what helps you. And that's what delivers you. And that's what saves you. You need help. You need encouragement. You need wisdom. If you need forgiveness, what you need is grace. You need to look to Jesus and ask him for grace. You just said, Lord, I don't deserve it. Between you and God, Lord, I confess, I don't deserve it. You're honest before God. You confess before God. I don't deserve it, but I'm asking for it. Based on what Jesus has done, okay, at his expense, I'm asking for grace. And God will give you grace. And that grace is amazing. It'll change you, strengthen you, and deliver you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we freely admit we all need grace. We need it. We need help. We need mercy and compassion, encouragement. We have circumstances in our lives that frustrate us, disappoint us. Doubtless there are things in our own heart that we're not even aware of. Other people see them. Lord, we're just not the people we ought to be, and we need you to change us. And we know it's not something that we can achieve by just trying a little bit harder and gritting our teeth. We know that the things that we need are deeper than that, they're bigger than that, and they can only come from the hand of God. And so we come and we just ask for them because we don't know what else we can do, Lord, so we just ask. We ask for your grace. We ask that where we're struggling with persistent sins, we ask you to change us. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to help us. We ask you to encourage us and renew us and deliver us. Lord, we pray this morning for those who just feel stuck in their circumstances and pray that you deliver them. Whether that means
changing their attitudes and enable them to see things totally differently, or whether it means totally getting them out of that situation and putting them somewhere else. Lord, you know what's best. I pray this morning, Lord, we pray together that you would enable us to look to you in faith to receive your grace. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.